Hello and welcome back to another episode of How Very Hannah. Let's roll the titles. Once upon a time, there was a stagey girl with a big dream. She hoped, dreamed, and prayed to work at Tesco. Wait, someone's written this script wrong. Can we get a redo?
Take two!
I dreamed a dream that one day I would hit the stage. And so it seems that dream has come true.
Whoa, whoa.
Oh my God, you guys, it's really happening. My life has been changed for the better and I'm seizing the day and spinning into the spotlight. How very slay, it's giving queen. How very
cringe,
get out my scene. It's beginner's call, the stage is set for me. How very Hannah.
How very Hannah.
How very Hannah, that's the name from a podcast show and your front row. So how very Hannah.
Hit the lights.
How very Hannah.
That's too bright.
How very Hannah.
That was all right. Okay, it's my podcast show. Let's go. It's a big week, guys. I'm not going to lie. I'm not staying chill about it. I don't know why I'm doing Welsh now, but I think that's my nerves coming out. Our guest today, I'm going straight in. Oh, okay. So I'm wearing this top for a reason, and I hope she doesn't think I'm weird. But our guest today is an incredible actress from the UK, who is in the Wicked movie. She plays Shen Shen in the Wicked movie, who you will absolutely recognise as one of Glinda's like little sidekick friends. It's like Shen Shen and Fanny, which is this person and Bowen Yang. And it's just a really, really iconic duo. And I'm very excited to sit down and chat to her. She's done lots of other things too, not just the Wicked movie. The Wicked movie comes out soon, if not already. Wicked for good, that is, because obviously the first movie we've been watching and loving for a whole year. And by now I'll have been to the premiere. So I hope I didn't fall over down the red carpet because that would be bad. But anyway, it's not about me. It's about my incredible guest for today's episode. So, without further ado, let me introduce them to you. Please welcome to the pod, Bronwyn Joe! Guys! I'm really subtle about this.
But also extremely subtle about this.
And also, can we just say that Bronwyn walked into the studio with this bag? Can we just get a close-up on the bag, actually? Sorry, not me manhandling your things.
No, please do.
Is she obsessed? A little bit.
Does she
have any other personality trait other than all things Wizard of Oz and Wicked?
No. Both of us. And does it flash?
Oh, wait. Give it a smack. Hey, did it.
Wait, tell everyone the story about this bag.
Oh, my
gosh. Bronwyn started talking about it. And I was like, wait, save it for the camera.
Got to save the material. So it's from a brand called Regular Choice that I'm obsessed with. My wife has very much like banned me from buying any more bags and shoes from them. But when I was auditioning for Wicked, I was like, oh, my gosh, I have like a Wizard of Oz handbag. I'm going to bring it to the auditions.
Iconic.
And then it became my like lucky audition handbag for Wicked. And I remember I was in like one of the final auditions and director John Chu was like, did you buy that for the auditions? And I was like, no, I already had it. And I was like, I don't know if that's weirder that I already had accoutrement or if I was like, I'm going to go out and buy some merch and then I'll get the part.
No, but because
it worked out in the end, so who cares?
The second option, going out and buying merch so you get the part, is very my energy. I do things like that all the time.
I go out and I buy a costume. So every time I've got, especially for Wicked, so I was like, there was this very big thing when I was auditioning for Wicked where I was like, I really want Shen Shen to be like this little like faux YouTuber, like she's just this little mean girl. So I went out and I bought like 10 pairs of acrylic nails.
Love.
And I was like, I'm just going to keep putting fake nails on and be like, oh my God, I love my nails. And like buying these ridiculous, like flouncy, like kind of boobage tops. And I'm like, yeah, this is something she'd wear.
And you're getting into character before you've even got the job.
Getting into character. I'd listen to like Spice Girls on the way over.
Yeah, what's like what's your pre-audition song that's like getting you in the mood?
So for Shen Shen, I made a playlist and it was things like Paris Hilton's album.
Oh my
back from
God.
Like back in the day, Paris Hilton.
Back and when she was a vocalist.
Exactly. And then things like Spice Girls, basically every song that's ever been on the Mean Girls playlist.
Love.
So like Legally Blonde, I'm like, that's what she'd listen to.
Oh, she's okay. Just, she's a girl after
her
own heart.
She's a 2000s bully. And that's why we love to hate her.
She is Regina George.
Yes. Yes.
But I feel like she's got a bit more personality than Regina George.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
You know, depends on the day.
Depends on the day. Depends who she's with.
So, Wicked movie. I'm trying to play it cool. It's literally like part two, full good. I could call it part two. Act two.
Act two.
As fans of the musical, yeah. Act two. And what's so funny is that people are like, wait, no spoilers. Don't tell us what happens. I'm like, guys, it's a full-blown musical already.
It's been out for years. Like, that's like people watching Sixth Sense now and being like, oh, no spoilers. It's like,
no.
It came out in the 90s.
Yeah.
You should have watched it by now. If you've not watched it by now, that's your own fault.
But in a way, I kind of wish I didn't know what happened in part two so I can have that experience of being like, oh yeah. My God, that's the Scarecrow. And that's,
yeah,
do you know what
the
I mean?
First kind of like, I remember when I first ever, because it's one of my favourite all-time musicals. I've seen it like 8 times now.
No way.
I've seen it more times than I've had hot dinners. but I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, this is cute. And then the moment where after the Witch of the East song by Nessa, and then you hear the clanking and you're like, oh my gosh, I knew that. That's from that other film.
It's from that.
It was such a massive shock moment, which I think is just going to be ramped up to 11 for the film.
Have you seen the film already?
No.
What?
No.
That's mad. You actually haven't.
I want to be. Well, I don't know what it is this time around, but everything's kind of like, it's all just kind of a mad, as it often is with premieres and everything coming out, it becomes like a bit of a mad rush to get everything out. So I've just not asked.
Fair enough.
Like an actual insane person. I'm like, yeah, please don't let me watch the film that I'm obsessed with and that I've like
and that you're
made
in
my entire life about. I don't want to watch it.
Oh my God.
But I'm actually kind of glad because now I get to watch it like at the premiere
with
all the cast and be like, oh my gosh, it's the first time I'm seeing it.
I'm going to the premiere.
The
Leicester
one.
Square one. So where are you watching it first? Will you see it in America first?
No, so I'll be seeing it Monday.
Oh my God, we're going to watch it for the first time together.
We have to...
What is it they do?
I love that.
That is the most heartbreaking scene in the world. Like,
yes.
And I've obviously done a little bit of research. And in interviews before, you said that that's a really hard scene because...
Yeah.
Naturally, you wouldn't want to be like laughing and mocking.
Yeah, naturally,
Cynthia.
Naturally,
in that moment.
I'm Elphaba in the middle of the room with everyone pointing and laughing. I'm like, oh this is hitting too close to home.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool because then I was like, oh, I get to channel all of the girls that used to do that to me and be like, huh, you're now dedicated in film.
Have you had those girls slip into your DMs now and be like, hey, so
bit.
Happy for you?
A little bit, but you know. They slip in and I slip out the door.
And down the red carpet.
And down the red carpet, darling. But yeah, filming that scene, oh my gosh. Like, I almost like have no words to express how like brutal it was watching it because there were some takes where there were, you know, in filming world, everything moves around and there's big pauses in between. So sometimes as an actress, it's not like stage where you're in it and you're following the story beat by beat. So there is a bit of a tendency as an actress to be like, okay, I need like a minute to get myself to where I need to be.
Yeah.
And Cynthia was just right there every single take. Like, it was so heartbreaking. And then there was one point that was, I believe it just kind of happened naturally in the moment, where Ariana's hand was kind of like cupping her face and then like brushed the tear away.
Sorry, why?
And then we all wept. For about 5 years.
I feel like I'm going to cry. You just explained that.
Oh my God, it was just so beautiful. And then me and Bowen come stomping in like, oh, why are you even talking to her?
So which is
mean.
So like unnatural for you as a lovely person to do. But that shows what an amazing actress you are. Do you know what I mean?
Lisa, there's something very fun playing a mean girl.
Yeah, I know. I did a show called Heathers. Do you know, like, you're a musical. I did this little show called Heathers. I don't know if you've heard of it. And I had to play all three, not at the same time, obviously. I had to play all three. And like my favourite one to play was Heather Chandler.
Yes.
Because she's the nastiest and it's just funny.
The evil characters are the most fun to play because mm-hmm. they are so, like, I love playing a villain. I don't get to do it nearly as much as I'd like.
No.
But there is something, because you don't have to worry, because I'm sure you'll get this, but, like, there is that god-awful feeling as an actress of, like, I really hope the audience likes me and likes my performance, and oh my gosh, what if they all think I'm awful? It's like, but if you're playing a baddie, that's the point.
Yeah.
You want them to hate you, so you're like, so I can just do whatever I like. There's a big freedom in it.
That's so true.
Yeah, I liked it.
And did they give you quite a lot of freedom with your characters then?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
With improvising and stuff like that.
Director John Chu, that is...
Director John Chu.
Director John Chu. So I don't know.
The full name every time. Dame I'm Judy like, Dench. I know who he is.
Dame Judi Dench and Director John Chu and Idiot Bronwyn.
Stop.
But yeah, he was one of the most, like, generous directors. Like, you really pray you get a director like John, because he was very much like, let's do one where it's completely on script and, you know, you follow the beats, and then one where you add in what you like, and then just one for fun.
Just play.
And some, like, most, the majority of mine and Bowen's moments were improvised.
That's
mainly because they were like, if we have to cut things for storyline, like, Shen Shen and Fanny are going to get cut down a bit. So the bits that ended up staying, like the whole, like, raise your hand, that was improvised.
Sorry, that line, like, raise your hand.
I really wasn't.
Can you just do it for us, down the camera, come on.
Like, raise your hand.
It's like, so...
It's just...
Sorry, that's just brilliant. Like, it's just the most petty little thing. It's
stupid.
I feel like Shen Shen's just petty.
She's really petty. The fact that she's got any nerve to say that, and it's like, you haven't answered a single question all year.
Yeah. And you've got the cheek to tell her to raise her hand.
Raise her hand. She's the only one with a brain. But stuff like that. I wasn't expecting that to be as... I wasn't expecting it to make the cut, if I'm honest. Because sometimes you just say something and you're like, just see if that makes the cut. And it often doesn't, because it's usually nonsense. But then when our little things did, like, oh my gosh, Bowen. The things that Bowen comes out with, he is... equal parts the best person to work with and also the worst, because he is so funny and so quick that he'd, like, say something completely off the cuff and I'd be there like, I need a minute, stop, can we cut the cameras because I can't stop laughing and I'm ruining the take and I'm ruining the film.
That's the best feeling though, when you're trying to stifle a laugh and it's like...
stifling a laugh when they're walking up the stairs and Glinda's like, oh my God, like, what, did I do something wrong? And he's like, no, well, you know, I don't see colour. How deeply unhinged. And I remember all three of us kind of, after they yelled cut, we're all just like, what the hell is that? That is such a thing that Fanny and Shen Shen would say, like, I don't see colour. Not even green. I'm colourblind.
Yeah. Petty.
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 Talking nonsense.
I also feel like people who've seen Wicked the stage show, like, Shen Shen and Fanny aren't as big a characters.
They're
but
not, yeah.
When you're a theatre person, you know people who be like, yeah, I play Shen Shen in Wicked in the West End. And it, like, you know those parts. Mm. I think, I can't remember exactly what the character, I feel like it's the girl with the bob.
It's the bob and the, like, they bring on that little tiny hat box. And I'm like,
those two, like, Shen Shen and Fanny.
Yeah.
But, like, they don't get named as much. Or it's a bit more throwaway.
Listen, I'm happy it worked out this way. It gave me a job.
I mean, it's perfect. Would you ever want to be in... the musical, in the stage musical.
Oh my
musical.
Gosh, yes. Like, you know, I wouldn't even need to be, I'd be person in charge of ironing the costumes.
I'd be the Grimmery.
I'd be that big dragon up top, whoever that is.
Oh, the people who are pulling the thing.
Yeah. I'd do bloody anything. Wicked is, it was the first musical I ever saw on the West End as, like, little baby Bronwyn on a coach trip from Leeds. And I'm like, this is amazing. I'm in the big city and the big smoke. I'm going to get on that stage and be like, I'll do the parts, all of them.
Oh my God.
And I saw it and
look
I was like,
now.
And look at me now, baby. But I remember watching it and I was like, oh, that's what I want to do that. And then I saw it another 8 times over the years. And now I get to, it's such a lovely full circle moment. I'm still so like, oh my God, I'm in that.
That's mental.
But yeah.
It's incredible. So after you were this young Bronwyn, you went to, on your trip from Leeds to watch it, did you train in musical theatre? Did you do theatre as a kid?
Yeah, so I mean, yeah. Like, I'm sure, like, the majority of us, I was like, oh, I'm going to do local theatre and school musicals. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, I'm like, I'm on Broadway.
Yes.
This is the West End. This is the most important role I will ever play.
Best energy to have.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're putting that much, like, intensity into, like, school shows.
Yeah.
I feel like...
It's a very...
Can't get wrong.
Yeah, it's very theatre kid energy.
Yeah, like, main character energy.
I played Madame Thénardier at 14 and yeah. It was the beginning of my career.
Did you?
I did.
Yes!
Wait, do you want to know something weird? I played... This is... I'm going to be, you know, outing us now. But I played Madame Thénardier at like 15 years old with Jack Wolfe, star of Next to Normal.
What the heck?
Yeah, now starring as Orpheus in Broadway. Yeah, I'm seeing him when I go to New York. Hi, Jack.
That's
but iconic. we go like way back to doing like Les Mis, a school camp edition, like over the summer holidays, like we're going to spend 6 weeks rehearsing and do five shows at a tiny theatre in Wakefield. And I'm like, in my brain, it gives me this, doing it now professionally, it still gives me the same kind of tingle and lovely feelings
that
it as a kid did, because it's nice.
And I also feel like you find your people when you're younger as well. And it's like you and Jack have obviously done that together and become friends, and you've both ended up continuing.
And isn't that mad?
Yeah.
He's like on Broadway now. Like, I always knew would he, not to like tangent off and brag about Jack Wolfe too much.
No, please.
He is like one of those people when I was a kid, I'm like, oh, he's the one that's going to be famous. He's the one that's going to be like in everything. And now he is. And I'm so correct.
You knew it.
I knew it.
And he probably thought the same about you.
I better have done.
I hope you're watching, Jack.
I hope you're watching, Jack. I hope you thought I'd be famous as well, because I don't know. Am I?
Yes, you so are. I mean, you've had a busy year, right?
Yeah. I mean, yes.
How's Train Your Dragon?
The premiere. Yeah, that came out.
Did you film that this year as well?
I filmed that. Oh my gosh, I'm like, I get amnesia.
Where am I?
What is this? But I filmed that, was that last year that I finished? I finished it at some point. But it came out this year, I know that for a fact.
Gosh, that's crazy.
But yeah, that was another absolute, I mean, the only problem with it is that it wasn't a musical. I need to see a tap dancing number where all the dragons are like, show, stop, number.
Do you know what, controversially, How to Train Your Dragon live on stage?
That
I can so see that.
Toothless comes on.
I'll be
like,
toothless.
I have teeth. They're just hidden behind my gums.
I think that could happen.
I think we should make it.
People ask me that all the time. Like, what film do you think would make a really good musical? How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah. Now
they've done a live action with Bronwyn playing
the Gronkle.
The Gronkle. Sorry. The
Gronkle.
Yeah.
Tap dancing Gronkle.
Perfect. And I'll play...
Horrifying.
Toothless.
Yeah.
I'm sorted.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, is it's only... It's humans playing all the dragons.
Yeah.
And that
it's like the Cats movie.
Yes. But we're all in just very, like, hand-drawn scales. And, like, instead of wings, we've just got, like, fans in our hands. We're like, oh, these are my wings.
Yeah, like, kind of like Bob Fosse-esque kind of vibes.
Very.
Like, really serious.
Little...
Yeah, and all that ashes.
And all that ash from all my smoke.
So you finished filming Wicked a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
So you filmed a whole other movie.
Yeah. So we filmed parts one and two, like, side by side, which very much...
Witch.
Witch.
Sorry.
Like, witch. From the film.
I'm a witch.
Yeah, and I'm a witch.
How'd it go?
If we're doing the, like, uncensored version, it's the... I'm Elphaba.
I'm Glinda.
I'm Elphaba.
I'm Glinda.
I'm a witch.
And I'm a witch.
And it's that. It just ends on them being like...
Oh, he goes, I'm a witch and I'm a bleep.
Bleep.
I'm a bleep. But witch is witch. So here's the sitch. We were roommates back... I don't know. But those two... the two little girls from the UK...
Yes.
They went on this morning and they did the whole thing. They were like, I'm a witch and I'm a witch. And I was like, yes, slay.
Like... Get your absolute bag. Your bag, girls. That is amazing. I love them
so much. So one of them played
so
young Elphaba, and the other one played Munchkin.
Yeah, Munchkin girl. And then in part two, there's young
Spoiler.
Glinda.
Spoiler. Oh, yes, there's a young Glinda.
Young Glinda. She is like the absolute mini-me of Ariana.
Really?
Absolutely. Right down to the dimple on the same side. And she's got the same kind of like... kind of beautiful, floaty, bubbly energy. I was like, oh my gosh, you're just a baby Ariana.
I mean,
you're
little baby.
She's starting here. Like, yeah. She's how old, and she's starting with a movie yeah. this big.
Well, do you know how she did it? She did a tweet. She was like, I mean, I think her mum probably helped her, because children shouldn't be online. But she did a tweet and was like, no. Oh, hey, if you're ever looking for, like, a young Linda or a young Ariana, I'm free and available. And they went, yeah. Give that kid a job.
If you don't ask, you don't get.
If you don't ask, you don't get. And then you don't get to be baby Ariana.
That's iconic.
Took my part. I was going to play it originally, if I'm honest.
That must have been crazy. Like, I get starstruck. I'm starstruck yeah. right now.
Oh, stop it.
But, like, I went to the premiere for part one, and even yeah. just seeing you all come out on the stage, I was just like, oh my God, like, I can't hold it in. Like, when you're working professionally on set with these people, like, how do you deal with that?
Oh, I don't. I bury it so deep that it only just comes out in, like, a slight hand tremor. I'm like, do anyone want a cup of tea? No? Okay.
Are you like, hi, I'm Bronwyn, what's your name? And she's like, hi.
Well, Sarah. Do you know, the wonderful thing about Ariana is that she introduces herself.
Okay.
Like, I don't know who... Like, we don't all know. We know. Yeah, I know.
We know.
I remember when I first met her, we were in rehearsals and we all had these, like, little dressing rooms that we'd, like, eat a lunch in. And I was, you know, mid-sandwich. And I hear this teeny tiny knock at the door, like a feather. And I knock on. And I think it's, like, one of the runners or, like, yeah. one of the ADs coming to get me to bring me back to rehearsals. And I'm like, hiya, come in, love. And opens the door and it's Ariana. And she was like, hi, Bronwyn. Oh, my God, it's so great to meet you. Like, I'm so excited. Aren't you beautiful? Oh, my God, I'm so excited to work with you. And I'm like, hello.
Get your letters out your teeth like this.
Oh, my gosh. I had a seeded batch. Don't look at it. But she always introduces herself. And I just think it's such a lovely thing. And she was an absolute joy to work with.
Gosh. It just looked like the most fun. On set.
It was.
And obviously, because it was filmed in the UK, basically, at a musical con, I accosted Bronwyn. We were in, like, the artist's area, and I was like, oh my God, that's Shen Shen. Like, I was like, I need to go say something. And I get quite, like, nervous about things like that, and I was probably shaking when I spoke to you, because I'm just like, I just need to come and say hi and be like, I really want to chat to you on my podcast. Like, I
mean,
need
I
to
am still from Wakefield. Just bring your expectations down.
I jumped you at a musical con, pretty much. Yeah. I was like,
stabbed me. I was like, oh my God.
Spread it. No, please, I saw Bronwyn at the artist area musical corner. I was like, I have to go and speak to her. And I literally ran up to you. And I appreciate you coming on, because I must have come across really weird. And I was like, hi, I'm Hannah. And I love Wicked.
No, listen. And, like, you came in with the same energy that I absolutely come in.
Okay. Yeah, see, like, even just that example, I can't control the starstruckness, you know.
Speaking of musical con, this is after... you accosted me, and then I also went on to accost someone else.
Who?
So, at Musical Con, obviously, Reeve and Eva were there. And I can't tell you how much I love him, and I also love her, and I love them together. And obviously, they're in Cabaret now, but they were also in Hadestown, which is one of my favourite musicals. And the way I absolutely embarrassed myself in front of Reeve, because I went... After we did our, like, big panel thing with myself and Andy Nyman, who plays Alphaba's father, and Aaron Teo, who plays Averick, we were like, oh, let's go for a little wander. It's a free day out.
Yeah.
And I was going for a wander, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw Reeve, and I was like, that's Reeve. Oh, my gosh, he was in all my favourite things. And one of the chaperones that was kind of, like, showing me around and everything was like, oh, do you want to go say hi to him? I'm like, absolutely not. I bet I do. But don't tell him that I'm here. Yeah. Don't tell him I exist. And she was like, no, don't be silly. So she brought me over. And I kind of jumped the line because they were in the middle of a meet and greet. And I was like, oh, now I'm the mean person that's jumping the line.
And so like, I went, raise your hand.
Like, raise your hand. Wait your turn. But then I went up to him and the chaperone was like, hi, so this is Bronwyn. She's just on the Wicked panel. She's in the Wicked film. And I, like, looked up at him and he had the most, like, beautiful amber eyes. And he's just so talented and gorgeous. And I was just like, hello, I love what you do. I just think you're great. So, are you? And I just, you know, when you just can't make a thought to get, I can't even do it now. And I just could not think of anything to say other than just saying, I just love you. I love you, Reeve. Hi, Reeve. And then I was like, oh my God, get it together. So then the chaperone took me over to go meet Eva. Mm. And then I was like, okay, rein it in. Be cool. You do the same thing. Like, girl, you're in it.
Yeah, you do
the musical as well, baby. And so I went up to Eva and I was like, okay, be cool. And I was like, hi, Eva. And then I went the opposite direction. I was like, what am I doing? I can't just be normal. But she, both of them, bless their hearts, Eva was really, really cool. She was like, hi, oh my God, I love Wicked. Like, oh, this, that and the other. So yeah, I'm right there with you in terms of
being starstruck.
It's weird.
My biggest flex from the part one premiere was I was sat like in the third row behind Leanne from Little Mix, Leanne Pinnock, random. And they started playing Other Girls on the Block, Making a Murder. What? And she was sat right in front of us. And my mum was with me. And my mum taps on the shoulder and went, love this one. Mum, stop. But my biggest flex was basically I did the SpongeBob musical.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the Broadway version with Ethan Slater, but the UK and Ireland tour version.
Hold on, in a second. I've got something to say.
As he was leaving the stage, I thought, like, we were so close and I just wanted to, like, I was being a massive attention seeker and I went, I love you, SpongeBob, like that. And he looked over and went, and I got it all on camera and I was like, yes, this is my moment. Like, just me saying I love SpongeBob.
Yeah.
And I felt like I had a connection with him. He has no idea I exist, but I just felt like in that moment.
Yeah, listen, you've got to say it.
You have to say it.
Say it and regret it later.
And I loved him as SpongeBob. I watched many a video of him when we were preparing for our show and I was just like, well,
do you know something funny about Ethan? So before I auditioned for Wicked, before I did anything to do with it, I was like placing bets with my now wife, Catherine. Hi, baby. I was like, okay, who are we putting his money on to play the parts? And I was like, okay, this person. And the one person that I got right was Ethan. I'm like,
no
I'm
way.
Putting money on the fact that it will be Ethan Slater. And I said this to him.
That's iconic.
And I was like, because he is just perfect as Bach.
Yeah.
And then when I met him for the first time, again, embarrassed myself.
it's a running theme.
It's a bit of a trend in my life. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I love doing SpongeBob. Like, I put money on the fact that you would be cast as Bach, like, because you're amazing.
Yeah,
and he was like, oh, cool. And I'm like, please agree with me and tell me I'm normal. But it was just, yeah, it was just funny. Also, SpongeBob with Gareth Gates.
Yeah.
That's my cousin.
Gareth Gates is your cousin? What? Whoa.
It's such a weird fact.
Gates was Squidward.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
I never watched it.
Well, you never watched it?
No. Listen, he's my cousin. I've never met him.
Oh.
And he's very much like, a cousin. My auntie married his uncle when I was a kid. This was before X Factor days. I have to preface that because I did used to have a picture of Gareth Gates on my wall back when I thought I was straight.
Oh,
and I'd be like, Gareth, I love Pop Idol so much. My baby. And then they went and got married and I was like, well, I guess the poster's got to come down now because I can't condone that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, isn't that such a small world?
Such a small world. He was a brilliant Squidward, actually.
Who did you play in?
I was Karen the computer.
Amazing. Oh,
Plankton's wife.
She's a bit
of a diva. And my husband, Plankton, was Davina DeCampo from Drag Race.
Of course.
Yeah. It was actually a really iconic cast.
I love Davina.
Yeah, me too. She's
everything I want to be when I'm 57.
Also, her obviously Plankton has like the big Plankton horns. And one day before, the funniest moment from that job is she was like leaning over to do something with her shoe and she stood back up and one of the horns went up my nose to the point where it actually felt like it almost touched my eyeball from like inside, if that's even possible. And then we had to go straight on for a scene. I was like, oh, I was like joking on Plankton's like horn up my nose. And we walked on for the scene. And you know those times when you're like trying to stifle a laugh?
Yes.
And like, oh my God. And I'm in the costume. I was wearing, what's this? It's like a visor.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see. There was a tiny little gap for me to see. And I had to basically spend the whole year like looking down like this or just like squinting through this visor. And the fact that we were just stood on stage like this, like my shoulder, luckily you couldn't see my eyes because I was crying. My shoulder's just moving up and down.
And then just a small trickle of blood comes down. You're like, oh, it's all part of the show, kids.
Yeah. And then I just die because Plankton's thing actually like touched my brain or something. Do you know what I mean? Could that happen? I don't know. Physics? Is that physics? Biology?
Yeah.
Something
I don't know. I'm an actress, not a doctor.
And on that note, I'm going to get my pitch pipe out.
Oh!
Hannah's Hotline.
Bow, bow, bow. Oh my.
Oh my. Lions and tigers and...
And pears.
Hello.
Hello. Bromin James, local legend and icon speaking.
Hi guys, what is your advice for anyone wanting to switch from musical theatre to TV and film or vice versa?
How did you get this number?
I can't answer this, so over to you, Bromin.
Well, this is weird because I've, much to my chagrin, I've never actually done musical theatre professionally, which I'm desperate to do.
But... Wicked movie is kind of professional, transition. I would say.
I mean, I did start, my first ever job was in theatre, so I did a play called Hangmen. Oh, and wow. For me, it was very much like a slow burning case, because I thought, like, I'm on the West End, like, I'm going to have to fight off the jobs. And then it came to TV and I was like, oh, it's like a line here and then two lines here and then you walk on for that bit, but then your part gets cut. So for me, it's very much like...
It's not linear.
But then also the kind of techniques of it, like I remember, oh God, I watched back one of my first jobs because I'm a masochist, one of my first TV jobs. And I'm like, oh, honey, you came straight from theatre land.
Oh, really?
You sweet angel. They're like this down the line going, what? She's dead? Is that good? You want another take? That was amazing that I loved that at the Wyndhams. But like... For
it's
me,
just the different skills.
The different, like, of scaling back. And it took me so long to learn how to not act for theatre and to act for TV instead.
I fear I'd be no good at that.
I mean, can't say I'm any better.
Oh, babes, come on. We did one screen acting class in my drama school. And I was awful at it because all my expressions were just too big. And they were like, less. And I was like, but I'm not doing anything. Like, let me do more. And they were like, no, just less. Just like feel the emotion. And I was like, I'm showing you it. And they're like, no, don't show it. Just feel it. And I'm like, what? It didn't make any sense.
You see, also the thing is that me, and you'll probably get this as well, in my normal life, like I...
Expressive. We're expressive.
I'm expressive and I talk really fast. I'm very animated because of course I am. So acting for screen, they're like, just do it how you normally would. I'm like, I am.
It's me, yeah.
It's not my fault I'm theatrical.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I definitely get that. It's a weird kind of
tight rope. It is hard. But I think transition-wise, I obviously can't relate to transitioning from theatre to TV yet. Mm. Maybe one day.
Yeah.
But I think a movie musical could be a good transition. Mm. Think like High School Musical 5 or 6. I could be Mrs. Darbus or something in a couple years.
All the examples in the world.
Yeah, I could be like
High School Musical.
But like a movie musical could be a good transition because it is theatrical. Mm. So you can give your theatrics, but you're not doing so much. Like, I can't picture myself going right now, just been in Sixth Musical, to going in and playing, like, a serious character in, like, Holby City.
Yeah, and who'd want to?
Oh, yeah, true. But, do you know, like, I can't picture that for myself. Yeah, yeah. Maybe, I mean, like, a little funny, little cutesy thing. But... Yeah,
but then I think about, so, like, some of my favourite things to watch are deeply theatrical TV. So, like, Schitt's Creek and... Yeah. I don't know if we have to bleep that.
It's, no, it's a name.
It's got a scene. It's a name, I swear. But like Schitt's Creek and Ghosts with the Horrible Histories cast. I'm like, it's still realistic and it's still, you know, not just like, hello, we're all ghosts. But they are all deeply massive caricatures and stagey. And I think, you know, when you lean into it, it's not wrong with theatrical.
Yeah, just be yourself.
Yeah.
Just be yourself. That's our advice.
Yourself.
Be yourself.
Because no one else will.
Can I ask, how long did What Is This Feeling take to film?
Oh my gosh.
Long time.
It took so long.
It's my favourite number from part
mine
one.
Mine as well. I will say, not to be biased, but like we spent weeks... If I'm getting the timings right, and it was about 10 years ago, no word of a lie, about 3 years ago.
That's mental.
That is actually insane. Yeah. But we spent a few weeks during, I think it was like
just before Halloween because Ariana had decorated everybody's dressing rooms. I walked in and I was like, oh my God, there's pumpkins and bats everywhere. So who did this? And I went, I know who's spooky. It's Ariana. But yeah, so we spent like 3 or 4 weeks rehearsing what is this feeling and dancing through life every day for hours and hours.
Wow.
And despite my very svelte and lithe figure, I'm not a trained dancer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a snap and clap in the background kind of gal.
Yeah, a strong mover.
A strong mover, strong groover, but you don't want a front and centre. So I was like, okay, I can do this. I'm like surrounded by people that have toured with Beyonce and are on Cirque du Soleil and all this. And I'm like, as long as I don't stick out, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
So I absolutely drilled this dance in my head and the wonderful choreography team with like Chris and just everyone was so patient and went through it all with me. So I learnt the dance and I perfected it. And then 3 months passed and we came time to actually film it.
3 months?
Something like that. It was about that long. And then
it'd have been like zoom out my ear.
Every single dance we've changed.
No.
Like 2 days before. And I was like, how could you do this to me? You don't know how many. I remember I got every single mirror from my house, put it in one room. And I was like, okay, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, and the book. And then you did, no, you got it wrong, Bronwyn. Bad Bronwyn. And I spent so long learning everything. And then they changed it all.
Oh,
but
no.
But then they were all really nice and was like, it's okay, we'll make sure you learn the dance.
Yeah. And that's the viral bit.
And that's the
bad. And you are front and centre in the viral bit pretty much.
That is, I was shook to my core because I have always wanted to go viral.
Yes!
For something other than COVID. But yeah, so like, I remember all my friends were sending me like, you're blowing up TikTok. I'm like, am I finally a star?
You are a star. I feel like, I wonder what's going to go viral from the next, from part two.
Well, there may be a certain repeat of a certain book orientated dance.
Oh.
But you didn't hear that from me.
Oh, gosh. No, I can't wait. And I think, like, when I watched the first movie, I saw What Is This Feeling? And was like, that is my favourite bit. And that is the bit that needs to go viral. And it did. And there was also a couple of other bits as well. But the choreography is just amazing.
The choreography is, I mean, the entire, like, team behind all the dancers, and like John is so incredible at capturing massive scale, especially for dance, and getting it to be like have that same feeling you get from watching dance on stage.
Because
sometimes in film it can become a bit like muddy and it's just like, oh, we're just going to focus on this one person, then maybe pan out, blah, blah, blah. But with John, because he understands scope and scale and the visual of how it's going to look, you know, you're aware.
He's a genius, really.
He's a genius. Oh, I love him so much.
Going back to House Train Your Dragon. So I have so many questions for you, so strap in.
Please do.
When you're on set, you're obviously, the dragons aren't real. So like, what's it like? Did they not tell you?
They didn't tell me. They blindfolded me and just said, they're dragons.
Well, how was that? What was that like?
Well, that was actually like an incredible experience because we had the same puppetry department as Wicked.
Oh.
So we had all of these amazing puppeteers and amazing modcap performers. So like very much similar for Dr. Dillamond, we had, I believe her name was Louisa. She was the modcap for Dr. Dillamond. So she was a stunt performer and she had these stilts and like rose so that she was the height of a donkey but spoke the line so you had somewhere to look.
A donkey?
Is Dr. Dillamond not a donkey? I thought that was the whole point. Goat. I've seen it 8 times. I swear to God, I'm not a big fan. A goat.
You heard it here first. Dr. Dillamond is a donkey.
Listen, Shenzhen, she doesn't care about animal politics.
No. Shenzhen would actually be like, oh, donkey.
She'd be like, oh, what are you, a donkey? And it's like, you can't just ask people why they're a donkey. I forgot where I was going with this. But yeah, so we had the same kind of puppetry department. So we had these giant puppets of all the dragons.
Yeah.
So my dragon, for instance, Barf and Belch, the two-headed dragon, they had these stunt performers that wore these giant like scaffolding rigs were like 15, 20 feet high. And they had our dragon heads on the top of it and they could move them and like nuzzle you with them.
Oh.
So whenever we were doing the scene, you actually had something to touch and to like play with, and even when we weren't rolling in between takes, they'd still be like breathing as the dragon and like nuzzling you for a cuddle. I'm like, oh, he's a good boy, isn't he?
And you forget there's actually a person.
Yeah, so much so that I'd like look up at it being like, oh, you're too big. Yeah. And like freak myself out. But they had that for all of the dragons. So it made a massive difference as a performer because then you had something to play with and improvise with almost, like another actor. So yeah.
Oh my God, that sounds incredible. Okay, a final question. What are you most excited for people to see about Wicked for Good? Apart from all the scenes with Ewan, of course.
Of course, apart from all the scenes with me, which is, you know, the spin-off of the spin-off.
Can you imagine?
The third film that's coming out, it's just what Shen Chen and Fanny were doing while everything else was happening. It's like them getting their nails done, them being like, I don't want her to die. Like, that's a bit much. Why are they're saying to melt her? What the heck?
I can so see that. Shen Chen and Fanny, the miniseries.
The miniseries.
On YouTube. Or actually,
and it's just them being like, can you hear? There's like people singing.
Yeah.
No one wants what? The wicked. She did what with Fiero? Oh, that's not good, is it? But yeah, so... I digress.
I said, what was your favourite, what are you most excited for people to see?
So I think for people that aren't familiar with the musical on stage or with the book or anything like that, I think they're the ones that are going to have this massive kind of like mind expanding moment where they're like, oh my gosh, everything makes sense in the world of Wicked, in the world of Wizard of Oz. But I think more so than that, I'm really excited for people to kind of see the friendship of Elphaba and Glinda go from being this like enemies to like deep friends to then wanting to pursue their own ideals and their own integrity and what they both think is right. Because I don't think either of them is 100% wrong. I don't think either of them is 100% right in terms of the storyline. But then them coming together at the end and having this full circle moment of being, getting very serious.
No, I love it.
But having this like full circle moment where they've gone, you know what, we've had this entire like life together, we've both grown so much and we like leave each other as fully formed like people with this massive deep love for each other. I think Wicked at its core is a story of friendship, in that it's not always like you're my best friend, I love you so much. It's like sometimes you're like, why do you not think the same way I do? And they're like, well, why don't you think the same things I do? And you butt heads, and it's how sisters are as well. And so I think from an audience perspective, getting to watch that, I think a lot of people are going to be like, oh yeah, I know what that's like. And I think that's why Wicked has stood the test of time. I mean, it's a timeless kind of allegory of being different and ostracized, but then ultimately getting celebrated from it, from the audience's perspective, because you look at characters like Elphaba and go, yeah, you're right, you should be following your integrity. And then looking at Glinda and being like, you're right, you should be trying to change things for the better. And
yeah. Changed for the better.
I don't believe that happened.
Changed for the better.
There was a reason I never auditioned
to. I'm sorry.
For the main parts.
Can I ask you one wicked question from my
please.
Book?
Please. Yes, please do.
You are going to know this, I fear. Right, what year was it? 2000 and... let me find it on the thing. I feel like it was 2001, but that could... No, that must be wrong. 2004? 1, 3, 4, 1 sec. 2003. Oh, I was wrong. Okay.
What a year.
What a year. Okay, who wrote the music and lyrics for Wicked?
Oh, Stephen Schwartz.
Is that an inside joke?
That is an inside joke.
Tell me.
Okay, so you know the...
Stephen Schwartz.
Do you are just too good. Every Steven. Single time we filmed that scene, at least one of us, so either me, Bowen, or Ariana, would be like, Stephen Schwartz, under our breath, middle of the filming. I'm like,
really?
Deeply professional.
But do you reckon we could probably see that if we watched it back?
I don't know. They probably were very clever and was like, let's not pick one where they're all taking the mickey.
Stephen Schwartz. I love that.
The way that that is going to like play on loop in my brain for the rest of today now.
I love that Stephen Schwartz got a cameo in part one.
Yes, it almost didn't happen.
Really?
That part was almost cut completely, so they were...
Sorry, no. Never.
Don't do this to me.
Sorry, director John M. Chu, don't do that.
John M. Chu, how could you? But yeah, if I'm right in thinking, They were going to cut the whole, "The Wizard Will See You Now."
No, that's the iconic bit. Yeah.
Well, that's what Ariana said. She was like, "You can't cut. You can't. You cannot cut." As because from one Wicked superfan to another Wicked superfan being Ariana, she was like, "You absolutely can't cut that bit. That is like an iconic part." And they were kind of trying to look for little cameos because there's cameos all over the shop. Both of the, especially if you're a big fan of UK theatre and musicals, you'll be like,
Alice Burns.
Oh yes, Anna. Glinda, circa 2009, on the tour one. Yeah, she's there. But yeah, so they were looking for like cameos little that cameos, he could appear in, yeah. And she was like, "Have him do that." And then he did, and he nailed it.
He did.
Oh, can I tell you about when I met Stephen Schwartz?
Please. Hello, welcome to my podcast.
Again, talking about themes of Roman embarrassing herself in front of people that she really admires. So we were me and Bowen were recording our vocals for some of the musical numbers, and I had the worst cold of my life. I was like, you know when you just open your mouth and you're like,
yeah.
Ash comes out, ash, dust and phlegm, and I was like, this ain't it. Of all days to have a cold when I'm trying to record vocals, this is not happening. Yeah. Anyway, so we're in a recording booth and I'm like, "I'm really sorry guys, I've got an awful cold, but I'm really going to power through and try really hard." And then they get the Zoom call on from America and it's Stephen Schwartz. And I was like, I don't know what I've done to annoy the universe, but I don't deserve this, I'm a good person. And I was like, oh my gosh, how the heck? Okay, so I was like necking back honey and lemon. I've had like five vocal zones in my mouth. I'm like, I'll be with you in the second. And then I started singing. And I was, you know, when you're like chicken out and you do everything in head voice.
Yeah.
I was like, that's as good as it's getting. And I remember Stephen was like, yeah, really good. Yeah, don't be afraid to just, you know, really get it out there, bro. And I'm like, Stephen's just given me a note. My life is over. But you know what? He was actually really sweet. And I do, you gotta love Stephen.
Oh my God.
Isn't that deeply embarrassing?
Yeah.
In front of like one of my most favorite composers, I'm like, I sound like a bag of pennies.
And also, he probably wasn't there when you were like, "Sorry guys, I'm not well." Yeah. So he probably just thought you were like, "Tara Galanta, you are just too good. Good. God, who are you standing in?"
I think I'm good. And he's like, "Who hired her?"
No, I'm sure he didn't.
No, he absolutely didn't. Like,
I went to watch. It wasn't Wicked. It was something else. I went to watch a show, and he was sat next to me or behind me or something. And I put a selfie on my close friends. I'd be like, "Guys, this is not a drill. Stephen Schwartz is right behind me." And one of my friends replied and be like, "Oh, say hi to him from me, because like she knows him." And I was just like, "Oh, by the way,
Barbara says hi. This is Barbara."
Yeah, and he'll be like, "Oh, okay, cool." I do embarrassing things, but I draw the line there. All right,
you've got to draw it somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I'll see you at the premiere.
I'll see you at the premiere.
What are you wearing?
Some sort of material.
Who are you wearing?
Who am I wearing?
You must get loads of questions like that on the red carpet.
Never.
Oh,
I'm always dying for people to be like, "Oh my God, you're beautiful. What are you wearing?"
Like, I'll ask you that if I see you.
Please do, because then I'm waiting for the moment someone asks me so I can be like, cotton and some sort of thread. I am also, I've got shoes on.
Perfect.
Just so I can be as sarcastic as possible. Actually really would. So I'm wearing a dress. Yeah. Please do.
A dress.
A dress.
I'm wearing a dress. Bronwyn, thank you so much for joining me. This has been like a massive pinch me episode.
I'm so excited
for part two. And I'm so excited that we've met and had this experience. And I'll be keeping your bag. No, I'm kidding.
Please do.
You can have your bag back. Actually, let me give that to you.
£100.
That is so good. Yeah,
for those people in audio land, every time I slap the bag, the Emerald City sparkles.
I need to order myself one of those.
Although it's a bit problematic because every time I do it, I do have to slap Judy Garland. And that's that's not okay.
No, it's never okay.
I'll do it to Tin Man instead.
Yeah, who even is that?
Yeah.
It's Bok. Spoiler! Okay, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you everyone so much for watching this episode. I'm freaking out. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe and follow wherever you get your podcasts. And go and watch the Wicked movie if it's out yet. And if it's not, book your tickets to go and watch it. Wicked for Good. And they're doing a double feature. I think I need to go and watch that as well after the premiere so I can like lock in.
Oh.
Watch it all at once.
Bring popcorn, a blanket and also tissues.
Comfy. That's the, sorry, I know we're ending the episode now, but that's the thing with premieres. It's like you get all dressed up in your like uncomfortable outfit and then you've got to sit down and watch the film. And I really want to just be able to focus and like embrace it.
Mm. Wear pajamas underneath.
Or just undress halfway through. Yeah. During as long as you're mine. Okay.
So, yeah, let's get sexy with the song.
And on that note, bye!